Okay. 100 years from now, it will not make much difference, friends of 100 years from now, if you live in a stately mansion or on a floating river scow, if the clothes you wear are tannery made or pieced together somehow, if you eat big steaks or beans and cake 100 years from now, it won't matter about your bank account or the make of your car you drive, for the grave you claim your riches and fame and the things you for which you serve, there's a deadline we all must meet, and no one will turn up late. It won't matter then all the places you've been, each one will keep the date. We will only have eternal what we gave up on earth. When we go to the grave, you can only save the things eternal worth. What matters, friends, eternal gain, for which some men always bows, for your destiny will be slayed, you see 100 years from now. Thank you.
Daniel chapter 6, verse 1, it says, "It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be set over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give account unto them, and that the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, "We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, "King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it may not be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not." Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed, and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. "Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?" And the king answered and said, "The thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not." Then answered they and said before the king that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition 3 times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, "Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and the Persians is, that no decree nor statute with the king established may be changed." Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, "Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee." And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions?" Then said Daniel unto the king, "O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut up the lion's mouth, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt." Then was the king exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel and cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives, and the lions had mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces, wherever they came at the bottom of the den. Then King Darius wrote unto all the peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, "Peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions." So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the word of God. Lord, we thank you for how you so beautifully ministered to us through the word. And Lord, we just pray now that your Holy Spirit would come into our midst, that you'd speak to our hearts. And Lord, help me as I preach, help each one here as they listen. And Lord, we just pray that we would hear from thee. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, we got through the first part of Daniel chapter 6, and we saw the prayer life and the character of Daniel. We saw the signs of Daniel's times, and we saw how they're very similar to the signs of our times. And we saw that Satan will do pretty much everything in his power to destroy our spiritual lives. We saw how Satan will try to keep us from prayer, will try to keep us from the Word of God, and how he, when he's able to do it, he basically laughs at us. When societies and nations are on a decline, what is God doing? We looked at Scripture last week, how God searches to and fro all over this world for men and women of prayer. He's looking for people who seek the truth, who will stand in the gap and pray. We saw the pollution that has come into the spiritual lives of God's people in Babylon, and how even today the pollution comes into our spiritual lives, in the lives of our neighbors. In Daniel's life, we see that he had to deal with the three L's: liars, laws, and lions. Liars, they were jealous of the blessings that Daniel had as a result of his upright and devoted life. The unjust laws was meant to basically wipe Daniel completely out of the picture. And today, what seemed to be the darkest moment, Daniel had to face death in a lion's den. For most of his life, Daniel had lived in Babylon, and as we read last week and looked at, he would probably have been about 80 years of age at this time, and he was the president, the first of three presidents that was set over 120 princes. Here's a man that was at 80 years of age, very busy, extremely tied up with all the things that come with being a president of a nation such as this. And yet he always found time, three times a day, to pray. He was faithful to God, and God blessed him greatly, and God used him mightily. However, as Daniel finds himself approaching closer and closer to the end of his life, he's facing one of the deepest and darkest valleys in the entire walk with God in Babylon. He didn't realize that the most brutal trial in his life was just on the horizon. So here's Daniel, an old prophet, the old servant of God. He's an old man. And I emphasize that not to pick on anyone that might be the same age, but to remind us that even though we may have lived long lives or lived quite a ways through our life, sometimes our darkest trials are still yet to come. And between this time and that time, whenever it may come, we need to live close to the Lord. The reason Daniel could live through the dark hour is because he lived close to the Lord all of his life. If you want to get through the deep, dark valleys of life and be able to come through with confidence and courage and strength, you've got to live close to the Lord day by day. First, notice that Daniel was cast into the den of lions. Verse 16, then the king commanded and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Daniel was cast into the den of lions for no other reason than that he prayed to the God in heaven. And last week we saw that these men were able to get laws passed for no other reason than to target one man. How many times do you see things happening where a whole nation will turn on one individual and target that one individual? A mob of wicked, ungodly politicians targeted Daniel and his faith and his prayer life, and they used this law to persecute Daniel. I can't think of anything worse than facing a den of lions. It's hard to imagine what might have been going through Daniel's mind. Most of us probably haven't even dreamed the dream where what it would be like to be cast into that den. I'm not going to go into detail, but basically, it's a death sentence by being ripped apart. What a dark hour to face. And this would be what seemed like would be the end of his life. The darkest hour that we all face, that we all fear, is still before us. It's that we still have an enemy. It's an enemy that's lost its sting if you're a Christian, but we still have to face the enemy of death. And then we have to face eternity. Death is described in the Bible as a dark hour. Psalm 23 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Psalm 111:10 says that death is like sitting in darkness and being in affliction. Death for the child of God is still an enemy, but an enemy that's lost its sting. And the Bible describes death as the last enemy, but it nevertheless is still an enemy. And for Daniel, this is not going to be the end of him because God was going to deliver him. But initially, Daniel thought, I'm going to face my death. And even as he faced it calmly and with great faith in God. And why shouldn't he? Because there's no sign in this passage that Daniel was resisting or complaining or showing any form of upset. He just placed himself in God's hand and decided that whatever will be God's will for his life. And he was prepared to die, and he was prepared for God's will to be done. We all have a lot of valleys that we have to cross in our life. And even when we go through those valleys, when we go through valleys of sickness, when we go through valleys of loss, when we go through valleys where it seems like people that we counted as friends might be turning on us, or you go through a valley of financial need, or you go through a valley where it just seems like the walls fall in and the roof caves in on you, yet there in the midst of those valleys, God is there. If we have great faith in Him, He'll carry us through. God has promised that when our darkest hours come, He will be like a friend that sticks closer than a brother. We have to cast ourselves on the Lord and rest in the God of glory. Job 13:15, Job said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." And it was interesting that he said, "Though he slay me." He's talking about God. He knows that God was allowing these things to happen to him. And Satan was trying to get all the credit, and Job didn't even give him the credit of what was going on in his life, even though it was negative. "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." Psalm 62:8, "Trust him at all times, ye people. Pour out your hearts before him. God is a refuge for us." We sing that song, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ, or Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. When darkness veils His lovely face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. His oath, His covenant, His blood supports me in the whelming flood. When all around me soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is..." Louder. Sinking sand. Amen. And that was Daniel's testimony as he was cast into a den of lions. When you face valleys, know that if you stay calm, seek God, that God will give you strength and help in your hour as a child of God. The Lord has promised to give help in that hour. The Lord has promised to give you help in the final hour of death. Not only did God give strength for Daniel to face that final hour, He also gave Daniel grace. In verse 22, it says, "My God hath sent His angel, and hath shut the lions' mouths, and they have not hurt me." The enemies wanted to see Daniel die, but the Lord offered grace and shut the lions' mouth. Notice that Daniel didn't say God. He didn't say the God. He didn't say your God. He said my God. God promises to take care of His people. And Daniel was looking to just one person that day. He trusted God as a Savior. Is God your Savior today? If you had to face death or any valley of any sort, would God be your Redeemer? Would He be your Savior through that time? Have you repented and believed in Him? Can you point back to a time when you say, "I had an encounter with God and He transformed my life and He changed me forever, and for the first time in my life, I feel like I'm adopted into the family of God. I'm His child." And we can only have a personal relationship through Jesus Christ. The world says that the way to God, there's many roads that lead to God. You can only have a personal relationship with God, Jesus said, through Him. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." And people get hung up on those questions. Well, what about the little guy that never heard in the Amazon jungle? And we get caught up on those questions. And my question to you would be, how big is your God? How big is your God? One of my apologetics professors — apologetics is not apologizing, but giving a defense for something — but he said, "I believe that God would do one of two things, but we read in Romans chapter 1 how God has revealed Himself through nature, but nature does not save us. It's only through the name of Jesus Christ that we're saved. But God," and we live in with roofs over our heads, we don't look around very much. Most of the time, we're looking down at a little 5 or 6 inch screen, and we're so focused on this, we have forgotten what happens out there in the world and in nature. I always love talking to people that love the woods, especially the hunters. They have a little bit more of a grasp on this. of how awesome creation is and how awesome God knits everything together. Some of those stories that end up in your bulletin, the creation moments, it's awesome how evolution couldn't have possibly produced some of these things. They had to have been created that way. And if that little Amazonian fella goes out on the edge of a cliff and sees the stars in the sky and responds to God revealing himself through nature, and he cries out, whoever created this, if there's a painting, there's a painter. If there's a building, there's a builder. But if there's a creation, there must be a creator. And if he responds to how God has revealed himself in nature, I believe God will either, it's only through Jesus Christ that they're saved. I believe that God will send a vision, will send a dream, or send a missionary. How big is your God? God is able to speak to a baby in the womb moments before it's about to be aborted. I believe that our God is that big. How big is your God? Don't limit God. Don't limit what God can do. But it's only through the name of Jesus Christ that men are saved. Modern scholars, it says Daniel was taken up out of the den. No manner of hurt was found upon him because he believed in God. He made God the Lord of his life. Modern scholars have suggested that the reason why Daniel was unharmed was that Daniel either must have taken some drugs in the lion's den with him to drug the lions, or they were tame, fed lions that weren't hungry. But there's nothing tame about them. Verse 24, when it says, the king commanded and they brought the men that accused Daniel, cast them in the den, the lions had mastery over them and break all their bones in pieces. It's interesting who has mastery over who. When Daniel's in the den, and if you have God with you, if you're in Christ, it's Christ that has mastery over your circumstances. But if you find yourself not in Christ, then it is the circumstances that will have mastery over you. What are you in Christ or in your circumstances? It's no different than being in a plane. I can appreciate a plane. I can look at a plane. I can say, oh, wow, I'm going to get really close to this plane. I'm just going to look so impressive standing next to this plane. But when the plane takes off, I can hang on. But it does me no good if I'm outside the plane. I have to be in the plane. And the same thing's true of Jesus. We have to be in Jesus. We need to be in Jesus, in the truth, not just appreciating the truth and maybe reading the Word of God every once in a while. But I need to not read through this book, but I need this book to go through me. The enemies of Daniel, they were leaders that were overlooked for promotion. The king appointed this squeaky clean individual, Daniel, to be appointed as the first among the presidents. And these men were looking at Daniel. He was being loyal to his God. They found a way to dress up Daniel's loyalty as being disloyal to the king. And then their plan, they thought, had succeeded when they heard the thud of Daniel's body in the lion's den. They might have heard the lions growling. They might have heard the roar of the lions as that den was opened up. The story of Daniel is not just a Sunday school story for kids. It's an extremely prophetic book. Daniel, back in the 6th century BC, he shined a light on so many things that was to happen. So many things right through history that was going to happen, and it all came to pass. And it's still coming to pass today. Through Daniel's prophecy, Daniel proves that you can trust the old book, the Bible. Daniel predicted when Jesus Christ would show up on the scene in Jerusalem. He predicted that Jesus would be put to death. He predicted that Jerusalem would be destroyed. Because his prophecies are so accurate, these modern critics have tried to dash the book to pieces, but they can't. Modern critics tend to be people who hate the truth. But notice in verse 24, instead of Daniel being in the lion's den, now his enemies, the sinners, are now in the lion's den. And so often the children's books cut off right about verse 23, but the story continues. The people that undercut Daniel got cut down themselves. And it's interesting that kids usually don't have as much problem with the story as the adults do, but this is the stuff that of true heroes and true villains. And it's interesting that this part of the story is still being played out before our eyes today. There's nothing new under the sun. And the situation in Daniel chapter 6:24 is still being reflected in our world today. The character of Daniel, the character of his accusers, we see them in the world today. We meet Daniels in the world today. We meet the accusers in the world today. At the store, at the park, sometimes at home, sometimes at work, sometimes even at the church. And then you ask the question, after all these years, when are the accusers going to lay down their weapons and stop their rebellion? When's that going to happen? When is everybody going to become strong and courageous in Jesus Christ? Is that a pipe dream? What does Daniel stand for? He's reliable, he's dependable, he's strong, he's courageous, he's determined to be faithful, he is prayerful, he denies self, he has moral courage, he has a constant loyalty to God. He's an amazing blend of someone who's extremely intelligent and yet extremely holy. Where are the Daniels today? They're there. They usually don't call much attention to themselves. They're working their way through academics. They exist in quiet small towns all over this nation, all over the world. Some are in government. Some are working in communities. The extended family of Daniel, people who dare to be a Daniel, they're not extinct. And the call comes to you and I this morning. Do you dare to be a Daniel? Do you dare to stand for the truth? Do you dare to stand in the gap? Do you dare to be an intercessor for a world that's lost and doesn't know him? And do you try to stand in the gap between God and your brothers and sisters? Dare to be a Daniel. Dare to pray as Daniel did. We're talking in our world today about the economy, and we've got all these things going on with the election. Everyone's telling us what the nation needs. Every day on the news, political campaigns, this is what the nation needs. Well, there's one thing that we all need more than anything else, and that is we need men and women who are the caliber of Daniel, the prophet, who are salt and light in the world, to be men and women of prayer, interceding on behalf of this nation. They say history repeats itself. Psalm 12:8 says, "The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted." This is kind of like the woe to them that call evil good and good evil. We see men and women in our society today that we could say are wicked. In Daniel's day, there's wicked people in his society. In fact, all 120 princes and the other two presidents were all wicked. You know, sin makes a person look small. Wickedness makes a person look small. The leaders, they felt inferior to Daniel, because standing next to Daniel, Daniel was superior to them in every way. And so a person that already looks small begins to look even smaller and smaller as they begin to get envious. Envy is a terrible thing. It can destroy a church. It can destroy a community. It can destroy families. Envy is what put Daniel in the lion's den. But there's another place where envy put a man in a tomb. Matthew chapter 27, verse 18. And it says there, "For he knew that for envy they had delivered him," Jesus. Envy still destroys lives and communities today. These men were wicked, they were envious, they were self-seeking, they were miserable people. They were cruel, could never be happy for anyone else. They had to be on top. But envy and jealousy are two of the cruelest sins. They lead to all manner of sin. And these accusers of Daniel, self was their god. Selfishness, and that's how we're all born. That, Jesus tries to pull us back from that. Romans 15:3. "For even Christ pleased not himself." There's nothing envious in Christ, nothing sinful in Christ. So the question comes down to, what kind of person are you? Are you a Daniel or are you an accuser? Because there's only two choices. We're either sheep or goats. Both Daniel and his accusers were brought to the same place of suffering. It's an underground pit that you cannot get yourself out of. And you always hear comments about how evil seems to have its day, but that's not true. Judgment is a very real thing, and judgment is coming. And lions tend to be pretty impartial. They are not vegetarians at all, as far as I know. And Daniel's and his accusers pretty much taste the same. And the message of the cross comes down to this. When you face your den of lions, would you rather be Daniel, or would you rather be his enemy? Because the day is coming when neither affliction or death itself destroys the souls of the saints of God. Romans 8:35-39, "What shall separate us from the love of Christ? shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, none of them things will ever separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus has mastery over the den, but the den of lions has mastery over those that were guilty of the sin of envy. Sorrow will master everyone who lives in sin. Sorrow will master everybody's life. Saints and evildoers, they're going to have their dark hour and valleys to face in this world. But who gets by and who gets on better? The one who has faith in God. When trouble comes, remember, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never, ever be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are you weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there.